Great, thanks, Leo. So Group B, I'll represent Thomas Vanderwall and Tom Gruber. A couple of high-level points. We kind of found that we were on the corner, like the boundary case of this space. What we were representing were four ontologies, three that were actually were boundary cases, Delicious, which is a classic folksonomy, and yeah, we have little Word documents for each of these, and then WordNet and Dublin Core, which we'll discuss in a second, but they also are way down there in the fairly unstructured end of things. And then something called tag ontology, which is, I'll get to as a punchline. If you reduce the view, this one comes up 125% by default. Thanks, the wisdom of Word there. Okay, so now the Delicious. What's interesting here is this, if we remember, we were trying to come up with what elucidate the units of measure or the scale for these dimensions, and also test the dimensions. And there, this was either this was a good zero point, or maybe it just shows. The level of structure, there just wasn't any structure. I mean, there's not going to be any structure in the way the structure was defined in the paper, because there was no formalization of any kind. There's not supposed to be. Remember, this is viewing a folksonomy as an ontology, not as a data set. So if you thought of folksonomy as if you know God or evolution had created it, then it has no formalization in it. Now, it also the expressiveness of representation is kind of also a red herring, because there is no representation other than a single relation, which is, you know, X tagged Y with a label Z. There's a little bit more to it, but it's basically one relation. Again, the representational granularity. Again, this one started to really melt down on all of our examples. We could never make sense of it, really. But if anything, we were on the very coarse end of this thing, because you would say you might use a tag to say all kinds of different things, and it was really encompassed. It was a very blunt tool as a representation. What I found that was the most valuable two dimensions for that was came out of this was, and this is dimensions not so not. These are the dimensions in the sense that we were talking yesterday of how can we understand what ontologies are by talking about dimensions, not how do we get some matrix right, but how do we understand ontology. And intended use and role of reasoning were very, very instructive in understanding the ontologies here. And in this case, if you look at folksonomy as an ontology, its intended use, actually design is also important, its intended use has an intended use as an individual's tool, and has an intended use as an emergent phenomenon for a group. The second unintended but consequential use is this: it's a feed forward mechanism into taxonomy or control vocabulary development, and various people using it that way. The role of reasoning was also instructive. Even though it had absolutely no structure, essentially just a relation, there was a lot of things you could do on a relation. You can join and pivot and project and filter all kinds of different ways. And that's what people do. And you can also aggregate. You can count up and you can statistically aggregate over the sets on that relation. So there's an awful lot you could do with that reasoning, just with that simple representation. And the final bit of there was the design methodology. And this is interesting. This was designed in the same way that, you know, fruit flies are designed. Well, not a bad example. Normal animals are designed. And that is, in other words, they're not designed, they're evolved. And this one emerged. And that's essentially the defining characteristic of folksonomy as ontology, that it is a completely emergent thing. Now, the two other exemplars down that corner of the space are WordNet and Dublin Core. Dublin Core, as most of you know, is just a vocabulary, and it has no formal semantics at all, but boy, is it well documented. Yes, you'd like to say something, Denise?
I'm sorry. I'm a former member of the Board of Trustees of the Dublin Core, so when you're finished, I'd like to sort of disagree with your characterization just now.
Why don't you just say what it is? You're the authority. Say what it is.
Well, the Dublin Core is a set of about 15 attributes which have syntax. They have, in some cases, there is a specification for the controlled vocabulary. In other cases, it is totally open and totally fluid. And people have trouble defining even what a particular attribute is, such as subject. Okay? Date is a little bit better, okay? Title, author, etc. But it's a core set of metadata, which is a faceted taxonomy. Mm-hmm. Okay? So
It's a faceted method, faceted on top vocabulary, but clearly it has no. It's a taxonomy. In other words, there's no vocabulary, but there's taxonomy implies hierarchy. No.
No, taxonomy does not imply hierarchy. A biological taxonomy is represented as a hierarchy. Okay, but a taxonomy. There are five different types of taxonomies. That's one of our major problems here. We haven't started out with clean definitions. We've all come with our own assumptions, and we've overlaid our own assumptions and prejudices on the discussion. So I think the conclusion of this workshop, from my perspective, is that whatever anybody walks away with is going to be the result. We are not going to have a consensus. We are not going to be merging opinions at all.
Okay. Well, that's a good point of Peter.
Maybe could we sort of request Denise to redo the dimensions for Dublin Core in particular?
Well, no, it's
we'll sidetrack. I think he should continue. I think Tom should continue. It's just that once in a while, when something is so off, I just want to raise my hand and say, I'm not sure that's quite right. Okay? So, but...
And that's fair. I mean, the point of these exercises, going through the examples, is to stress the framework and so on. So, obviously, we have different interpretations among this group of what the word taxonomy and the word vocabulary mean. So we need to probably put a star on that and clarify that, which word sense we mean of those words. And that's a good point. So Dublin Core is an example of those things that Denise said. Some people might call it this or that. But the interesting point is that even though it's amazingly well documented and I've obviously gone through just torturous standardization processes, what you end up with is 15 words. How many are there then? Not 15?
They're not words. They're actually attributes and specifications.
15 attributes and specifications, okay. But the actual values are not really constrained by any formal or operational semantics. Is that correct?
It depends. It depends on the particular attribute.
Yeah. I mean, thanks. Controlled vocabulary is a taxonomy, but a taxonomy is not a controlled vocabulary.
It's fine. We'll call it. So we would call it a taxonomy then.
No, sorry. It's a faceted.
Faceted taxonomy. Okay. All right. So anyway, but I just read the documents and made sense of them best I could. The other one was WordNet. And WordNet is interesting in that it is a kind of a database, like a corpus and like a dictionary might be, and it's also can, like folksonomies, can be used as an ontology. And this one, the insight we got from this one was that we could put a unit on the scale of expressiveness here, which is essentially this is the equivalent where folksonomy needed the equivalence of a relational database. This one needed the equivalence of a semantic net. In other words, you need to have nodes and typed arcs with no semantics, just nodes and typed arcs. I mean, no formal semantics, names. Some of them had no formal semantics, but no implied formal semantics. So, in other words, some of them actually say there's an axiom, this is a subclass or something like that. The point is that there's sort of this level of representation where you just need nodes and typed arcs. And then there's another level that goes beyond where you have all kinds of fancy subsumption and so on. Right? So this one seemed to just need that representational level, which was interesting. The other thing about it is that they were very explicit about their intended use, too. The designers of this thing said, this is for natural language processing. And that really helps them understand when they're getting it right or not, which I think is a really important insight. Okay. Do you have any comments? Anyone open on that? Bert?
I agree that WordNet is what we would call a networked taxonomy, a network-structured taxonomy, as opposed to... Dublin Core, which is a metadata scheme, which is a faceted taxonomy. They are different. The semantics of what I would call the semantic relationships of a faceted taxonomy are different than the semantic relationships of a network taxonomy, but that still doesn't say anything about the rigor or nature of the relationships. I'm not sure that makes any sense to anybody who hasn't worked with it.
So The final one we actually volunteered. Actually, you have to refresh yourself. There it is, tag ontology. So tag ontology is interesting. This is actually about tag data, but it's not the same as a folksonomy. It's actually the enabling technology, enabling ontology, to share folksonomies, in particular to share them across heterogeneous systems. And this one has the interesting property that it's actually relatively clean. I mean, in terms of it, like, it has a very small number of relations, but the semantics are fairly well spelled out. Now, not spelled out in, so much in axioms, but they're spelled out fairly well in conceptualization. Sort of like the, sort of like Dublin Core, people have good words to say what they mean for some of those words, okay, some of those facets. So, anyway, the interesting thing about the tag, there are already existing tag ontologies, and this particular effort was to sort of build on them and consolidate and extend. This is a good foil against which to compare folksonomy. Because you say, this may also be true of things like WordNet, where there's a WordNet ontology for the N relations, whatever they are. There's like 10 or something relations. And they have a kind of semantics. And then there's like the corpus, which is the instantiation of those relations on 200,000 synsets. And the tag ontology stands in the same relation. It has a small number of relations and concepts, in the order of a dozen or so, and yet you can apply it to millions and millions of records of tag data, which then in turn some people could look at as sort of a corpus like a WordNet. So we see we've sort of highlighted that there's two kinds of ontologies as a result. So those are the highlights of the findings. There's documents here that I read pretty quickly, so if you want to get a rundown, just zip through them. That was Group C, Group B.